And the inroads that they are making in the world, and it would appear almost greater than that of Christianity. In England today, there are 10 converts to Islam to every one to Christianity. I was taken by the pastor in Bradford, and he pointed out 12 churches in Bradford that have now become Muslim mosques. And the tremendous inroads that Islam has made in the world, is making here in the United States. Also, Hinduism. Hinduism, though, comes under the guise of the New Age movement. But when you look at the inroads that the New Age movement has made in our society, realize that that's just the Hindu philosophy, it's the Hindu religion, the self-realization, the man-God potential, ascending into the God state. God has brought into our Calvary family a fellow who probably has more insight into the Hindu religion, its effect upon our world, than probably one of the greatest experts in the world on the subject, an expert because he was involved in it, a disciple of Sai Baba. And I'd like to have Tal come and just share just briefly, Tal, with us the inroads that you see and the answers.
This is a real shock. Roger did a very good job yesterday. Where are you, Roger? Are you here? Roger Oakland, or did he go? Is he going? Okay. I hate to do this to you. But the last year, I wrote this book, When the World Will Be as One, and it really deals with what Chuck was talking about. Chuck's morning talk really blew me away about Gideon, about getting ready. The guys that were pared away, 32,000, and they just went down to 300. Harvest House has put this thing out. It's been out a few months. It's done very well by God's grace. I came to this conference thinking, man, I'm really going to get broken. I've been feeling it happen. You know, it ain't going to be easy time for Tall Brook. I'm going to get it. And that's probably what's going to happen through this book. I think there's some real breaking down the highway. I'm afraid so. You know, it ain't Glory Street. It really isn't. Chuck was right. Boy, don't try to steal the Lord's glory, and pray for me on that. I pray that I don't. But this book, I think, When the World Will Be as One, will be a tool for you all. And I wrote it for non-Christians, really, first. I did a poll on Mars Hill, you know. But let's hope, according to what Mike and John shared, that it is a tool to reach non-Christians. That's why I did it. Because it is a rough market out there. I worry when Christians play ostrich. They put their head in the sand and they have no idea what goes on. And I go into a rage sometimes. I burn inside. It drives me nuts. Mike McIntosh, my old buddy, mentioned child sacrifice and things that are happening, or he has before. And this hotline for kids is a number one. Mike, that's tremendous. When you mentioned that a few years ago, it blew my head off. Every time you come up and share, I see God using you, and it just blows my head off. We're in the middle of an occult revival. I'm going to keep this very short. It is a revival of Mystery Babylon that the book of Revelation talks about. I believe more and more. You know, when I came back from India 17 years ago, having been under Sai Baba, you know, Hal Lindsey's late great Planet Earth came out, and he talked about the nation Israel as one of the big markers on the horizon. And I kept reading the book of Revelation. It talked about what I saw was a one world order headed by the Antichrist. You can't have this mark of the beast, 666, whether it's on your hand or your forehead, where every citizen in the world is marked, unless we're talking global economics and probably global computing. And then 5 years later, after I returned from India, suddenly the microchip hits the scene and these little calculators come out. And now in 1989, these things are enormously advanced and we have the hardware in place with transponder satellites, all-seeing eye satellites, to communicate with gigabytes and fiber optics underground to now mark every citizen on the earth. Hey, you know, the book of Revelation seems to be unfolding. I mean, it looks that way, you know, in front of our eyes. And throw in the New Age occult revival, you know, maybe it is like Gideon getting his army together. Maybe that's, you know, maybe that's who we are. I'm starting to get chilled inside when I think of what the horizon is looking like. It's very sobering stuff. I was on radio with Marlon Maddox in Dallas, Texas. He's got a standing audience of 4 million. I love that guy. I want to get him and Chuck together, actually. He's a very conservative. I think Chuck should get on his show. He's a very conservative evangelical, and we were having a good program. Things were really firing. And we were talking about the spread of the New Age movement and how tangible this thing is, from being in the schools, from being in the government, from people in high places, to people who want to destroy America, Christian free America, because a strong America falls in the way of a one world order. I mean, you know, you get that piece on the chess table, that a strong Christian healthy faith stands in the way of what these guys have planned. So when this program was happening by satellite, ABC satellite. Let me put in a vote. I hear Chuck. I want to see him on every TV in the country. My vote is it's CBN or TBS. If you buy a transponder, only a million people will hear you. Those are indicious. We need to move very quickly. It is like Gideon's army. I'll be available to some of you. I don't know how busy the year is going to be to talk in some of your fellowships. The New Age thing is America's occult revival. It's Mystery Babylon, the seal breaking. Nimrod at the Tower of Babel started it. God scrambled the languages, that Genesis 3 lie. When Cyrus destroyed Babylon, went to India. It went down the trade road to India. And then we saw in the 60s, with the rock groups and stuff, a lot of us on the hand, like Mike over there, we saw the old Genesis 3 line come back across the Atlantic, and that was part of America's occult revival. That's why I went to India. Very, very enthralling. I mean, it caused the two perfect federal heads of the human race to fall. That's a one-hour lecture. Adam and Eve, at the height of their intelligence, their will, their walk with God, original righteousness, with their pollution intellects, chose the great lie. It's got to be strong. You know, it's like a gambling casino. They only have 5 devices in most of these places because they work. The house has the odds. You don't need to invent anything new. They work. And I really think that's true with the great lie. The great lie that went from Babylon to India, now it's coming to America. And I really think that this germ of the New Age movement, you know, it got me in India, of course, under Sai Baba. I had really strong experiences, but they were demonic. This is really something. Well, let's go back to the drug revival among the kids, the cocaine in seventh grade. Whoever thought we'd live to see a seventh grader with a glass pipe smoking coke? And then an ACLU lawyer to defend him if, you know, his rights are violated, but if he's caught praying near the locker room, praying the name of Christ, that becomes a legal thing. It's not the same America. Going back to what we were saying with Marlon Maddox, we were amazed realizing how quickly this country has changed. which really affects our job. I'm trying to start a small fellowship, and that's all it is in Marin County. I look to Mike and Greg Laurie and John and some of these guys with huge fellowships. I don't think I'm going to do that, but I hope I have a good, healthy Calvary Chapel there, because we're right on the front line with a lot of new agers, and these guys are really heavy. I mean, I got discouraged. I was in the town square, and I said, Lord, is my church going to be, are you going to teach me another lesson? Am I going to get the insane? You know, the disenfranchised, the perverse, the weird, the abnormal. Is that going to be my church? And we had the first church meeting, and a brother who dresses up like Santa Claus came up on one of these elevators balancing things, and I thought, yeah, you know, it always ends up weird with me. Let's just pray. Seriously. You know, it's always a little different. There's a little twist in it. Lord Jesus, please give me some normal people. You know. I'm not kidding. I'm really serious. And then people catching angels in the air. And then this is true. He sent me two musical people who used to be with Horizon, Mike's, some singers that used to sing, and now they used to sing with Lisa, Wickham, and Dave. And they're on board, and we do have some staff from Jews for Jesus, and we're doing our best to make inroads with the New Age by preaching the cross, but I think we need to be aware of what we're against. So hopefully this will be a tool to you. I wish we had some here, but God bless you, and let's fight the good fight. Thanks, John.
Has been established by the European community as the year when the borders come down and the unification of Europe. They say that they hope to have a common currency by the end of this 20th century, by 1999. They hope to have the common currency of Europe. But the interesting thing is last week when Gorbachev was visiting in Germany, he declared that the answer to Russia's future is to become involved in a part of the European community. The world is moving towards the one government. As we said, we're living in desperate days. It's time that we get desperate before God. Really, the days of fun and games are about over. I think that we've got one final charge up the hill. You know, and grab those that we can, take them into the kingdom with us. But isn't it exciting living in these days? You know, when I'm convinced that the church will go out in a blaze of glory. I believe that God, in His love for man, is going to make one final sweep of harvest that's going to be unparalleled to anything in history, giving men their final opportunity, the final chance. And to think that He's chosen us in these days to bear the message that only brings hope. And I might say, the only message that brings hope. And that is that Jesus is Lord. And He, through his death upon the cross, made atonement for our sins. And it is by him and only by him that we can have the remission of sins and the hope of eternal life. You're going to have time now to spend together. I am not so familiar with Palm Springs that I can give you a rundown on the eateries in this area. We will convene again at 2 o'clock, so you have 2 hours to find a place. And trust you'll just get together with some other pastors and go on out and have a great time of fellowship. We'll see you back here at 2 o'clock.